Good morning, afternoon, or evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com with my colleague Tom Deanhart. This is your GoldenBlack.com Saturday simulcast. You'll notice we're on location. It is Big Ten Media Day here in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. So we've outed ourselves on that actually doing our Saturday simulcast on Saturday. This is, in fact, Friday. Nothing changes. So we're going to talk about Big Ten and Purdue football here for the next 30 to whatever, however long we talk. This, of course, as always, is brought to you by our friends at the Purdue Union Club Hotel. This will be the best live read you've heard all day. The Purdue Union Club Hotel at Purdue is a Travel and Leisure World's Best Hotel nominee. Voting is open, so visit PurdueUnionClub.com for more details and to show your Purdue pride. So we will dive right into it. Today was the portion of the Big Ten Media Day extravaganza where the coaches go to the podium and they talk. Take some relatively sterile questions normally, and that's that. So, Tom, first question for you is, what is your opinion on iron sharpening iron, guys fitting into culture, and teams having a great offseason? Bonus question, where did the summer go?
I know, man. I still got plenty of air in my beach ball. And like you said, there's still plenty of summer here laying out in front of us, buddy. Yeah, there's no doubt a lot of cliches on days like this. The optimism is always running high. Everybody's obviously still undefeated and thinking great thoughts. And today was day two of Media Day here in Indianapolis. And, of course, Purdue was part of that day. And Jeff Rom spoke at the dais for maybe 15 minutes or so. We got some off-podium time with him as well in two different settings. And three Boilermaker football players here, George Karloftis, Jackson Anthrop, and David Bell, representing the university too. So, yeah, this is sort of, I guess, an unofficial start, a fun milepost to every college football season. Boilermakers report to camp August 5th. I think the first practice is August 6th. So we're getting closer, Brian, and this is a program that, as we enter year five, has questions, but I think you'll agree there are reasons for optimism here.
And the first Big Ten Media Day we'll ever leave with these little rubber granules in our shoes. Because we're out on the field here. Hey, let's talk about I've not prepared for this. I wrote down a few words here on a piece of paper. Let's start by talking about Purdue's offense. Obviously, that's the side of the ball that Purdue, you know, in a perfect world, has come to be known by because they've had a great deal of skill position talent on offense. They're coached by a quarterback. This is a quarterback program, I think. Who is the quarterback, Tom? You hear me?
I'm losing you a little bit. Got me?
Yeah. Do you have me?
I got you.
All right, so let's just brush that off here for a second. Offense, who's Purdue's quarterback?
I think in the end, Brian, I think it's going to be Aiden O'Connell. I just think his advantage passing the football, while it's not an enhanced edge over Jack Plummer, I think it is significant enough, I think, earn him the job. Both quarterbacks are well-liked in the locker room. I think that's important to note as well. Both have proven they can win games for Purdue. Plummer started 9 games. O'Connell started 6. But I still think in the end, Aiden's going to be the guy who takes that first snap against Oregon State. Now, I will say this. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe two quarterbacks play earlier this year. If the staff doesn't feel like there's enough separation between O'Connell and Plummer. But again, I think when push comes to shove, Aiden is going to be that guy taking the snap. And just like last year, you know, I think a bit of a mild upset, he won the job over Jack Plummer. And wouldn't be an upset if he wins it this year. And I just think he's got a moxie about him, calm about him. And again, that ability to throw the football is oh so important in Jeff Rom's offense. And I think in the end, that could be what gives him that little bit of an edge.
Yeah, I think it was a big tell when O'Connell won the job last season that there's something about Aiden O'Connell this coaching staff really gravitates toward. I don't think that's all that surprising because he was able to win some games for Purdue under pretty difficult circumstances the year before. Maybe the guy's just a winner. Maybe the guy's just a gamer. Maybe cognitively he does some things that they kind of resonates with this coaching staff, because he's not the athlete Jack Plummer is. He's not the athlete Austin Burton is, but he might have maybe some intangibles that these coaches really value. I just had to shake off a little bit of a harrowing flashback to my last time in this building when I couldn't get on the Wi-Fi 5 minutes before a NCAA tournament game began. So our little kerfuffle there with the Wi-Fi brought me back to that horrible moment in my career. So you didn't need to know that, but my relationship with the Lucas Oil Stadium Wi-Fi is not a positive one. Obviously, Purdue has a couple of legitimate stars on its team this year. David Bell, I think, is one of the best college football players in America, not just wide receivers, but college football players. Keeping him healthy, I think, will be imperative for Purdue this season. Does Purdue have the threats around him, do you think, to make sure that defenses don't completely gang up on him?
I do. I think this could be a breakout year for Milton Wright.
I think he had a great year last year.
Yeah, he did. I mean, this could only be a 50-catch year for Milton Wright. Maybe David Bell catches 80 or 90 passes. But, yeah, Milton Wright's a junior, a true junior, just like David Bell, a bigger receiver. They're going to be on the outside. And, again, you have to think Milton's really going to benefit from all that attention David Bell's going to command. And I tell you, Brian, a player that Jeff Rom talked about a few times this spring was T.J. Sheffield. Working in the slot, a redshirt sophomore, and sort of came on as a kickoff return man last year. I think TJ could be a guy who ends up playing a big role for this offense. And he's also a guy that they've talked about using a little bit in the backfield, along with Marcellus Moore, another wide receiver, the track star, and Jackson Anthrop. So, again, Sheffield's impact could come as a kickoff return man, as a slot receiver, maybe with them that spot duty in the backfield too.
Yeah. I know they want to use David Bell all over the field a little bit more, maybe to keep defenses off his scent a little bit. But I've wondered if he's that sort of guy that, you know, with Rondell Moore, I mean, they're very different players, but Rondell Moore, you could give him the ball a lot of different ways, things like that. You could do it on very high percentage throws. And I'm curious to see how they can find ways to get David Bell the ball where you put him in a position to make a lot of plays where you don't necessarily have to ask a whole lot of your quarterback. It's a quick read. It's an easy throw, kind of things like that, because he and Rondell Moore are very different. But I do think they have to get the ball to David Bell. You know, if this were a PPR league, Purdue would be David Bell would be a very good pick for Purdue's fantasy team. That was a really stupid reference. I apologize for that. What about the running game? You know, the offensive line, I think, can be a little bit better this year than they were last year. I think a real offseason will matter for them up front. You know, Purdue chased a couple of running backs on the transfer wire this year. I personally think as long as Xander Horvath and King Daru are healthy, which is a big if, I think they're okay there. I think that's something you can win with. What do you think?
Yeah. I agree. Now, neither guy's a home run hitter, obviously. Neither guy's going to keep a defensive coordinator awake at night with their speed, but you can win with both those backs. They're both proven. Of course, Daru led the team in rushing as a true freshman a couple of years ago. Horvath had that honor last year after Daru dealt with injury. Boy, Xander Horvath's a guy I love a lot. 30 catches last year, led all Big Ten running backs. Boy, we saw him would-be tacklers a few times. Just a real specimen back there. And again, two good backs the Boilers have. Maybe they get some help from the freshman, Jaquez Cross, we'll see. But by and large, it's going to be, I think, pretty much a two-man show in the backfield for Purdue. And I agree with you. I think they can win there. Overall, Brian, I think this offense has enough weapons. One other guy just flashing back real quick. Wide receiver is Brock Thompson, one of the transfers from Marshall.
His name keeps coming up.
I think Brock Thompson, the guy. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if maybe he ends up starting at some point. So they've got some nice weapons, and you know, Purdue was not looking for a wide receiver in the portal. This is a kid from Indianapolis High School they thought was too good to pass up. So that's another weapon fans should definitely keep on their radar.
I saw Brock Thompson play in high school because he was Elijah Ball's high school teammate. I really liked him. I thought Marshall got a real steal there when he ended up there. And I guess I was right. You know, the thing about Xander Horvath, on a related note, the thing about Xander Horvath that I thought was pretty interesting last year was just how many big plays he made. I mean, you don't look at him and say, this is a home run hitter, this is a big play guy. And it's not like he's out there, you know, scoring 60-yard touchdowns, but I don't know how many 20-plus yard gains he had last year, but it had to be, I don't know if it was right up there with David Bell, but he might have led the team.
Yeah, he was very good, you know, yeah. For a guy that's big. And very impressive guy. And think about this, Brian, as you and a lot of the listeners probably know, of course, he got to produce a walk-off and up from Mishawaka, Indiana, and he's really developed into a key player for this offense. At one point was going to go to Indiana as a linebacker walk-on. So, again, a fun guy to root for. And like you said, really unexpectedly made a lot of big plays for Purdue last year. So, again, they've got some receivers to work with, some backs, and then you know we haven't even talked about the tight ends yet, and I think that's a position that could be one of the strengths. Of course, all the key components are back, and Payne Durham is obviously the bellwether, but Brian, the guy that excites me the most is Garrett Miller, I guess the redshirt sophomore from Texas, and then that's a kid, boy, I think back to the Northwestern game last year, he had a 48-yard touchdown catch that was mostly a catch and a long run.
Right.
Terrific athlete, I think, as he learns the playbook more and more, could be a real playmaker at tight end.
Yeah, I think Payne Durham can have a double-digit touchdown season this year and you know be a guy that NFL teams here are looking at in a couple of years. Let's move over to defense. Obviously, you know, probably more questions on defense than on offense. Here, Purdue's got to figure something out defensively. You know, they've got their, what is it, third coordinator in 3 years or some such thing. And that's got to, they got to figure something out. What's your feel there for how well the Brad Lambert approach is going to work relative to the Bob Diaco approach?
Yeah, you know, all we can really go by is what we're hearing right now. And Jeff Blom talked about how there was chemistry on this staff this year. And time and again, he said he wants this to be a collaborative room.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case last year. From everything I think both of us have heard, everything went from Bob Diaco down, and it was pretty much just one voice in that defensive room. And I think Jeff Blom really wanted to make an effort this year when he's rebuilding the staff to make sure everybody's voice was heard, and a lot of different voices were also had input here in putting this defense together. So it's hard to quibble with the experience of Lambert. Of course, Mark Hagan and Ron English, boy, two of the three have been a head coach before, and that's a lot of brain power on this new defensive staff. So I think we both agree that's probably the side of the ball that's going to dictate how good this season is. Of course, there's a new scheme, a base 4-3. There
right.
will be multiple, but you know the other key word is aggressiveness, right? Where Jeff Blom always says, "I want to be more aggressive on defense. I want to play defense like offense." Talked about that again today. They're not going to sit back and be passive. They are going to get out and stunt and blitz and get after people in hopes of making plays. So, should be a very exciting defense to watch.
Yeah. I like the approach Purdue's taking defensively. I've written this before. I wrote this before Bob Diaco's hire. I wrote this before Brad Lambert's hire. I think pressure and risk-taking are the way to go at Purdue because it's hard to put together a defense with any depth at Purdue where you're just going to hold up physically for four quarters against really physical teams. I think the way to do it, especially when you're trying to put a big play offense on the field, is negative plays and turnovers. And to get those things, you have to take some chances every now and then. Now, that's the approach Purdue should be taking. I think that's the best fit for Purdue football. History, I think, has shown us that when they had really good defenses under Joe Tiller, they were obviously, that's what started the whole defensive end defensive end lineages. They just let those guys loose. They blitzed a lot. They were a high-pressure, speed-oriented sort of defense, and those were some of the better defenses you're going to see at Purdue. Helped Purdue win a lot of games. I think if you can replicate that sort of thing, I think it just makes sense at Purdue. It's not going to be easy to pull off because you're the most important players to me when you're trying to run a pressure defense aren't your defensive ends necessarily, aren't your linebackers, aren't your pass rushers. They're your corners. And that's a really tough spot for Purdue right now, it feels like. They've got some guys, Corey Trice, Dedrick Mackey, who played a lot of football. Depth there seems like was an urgent need in the offseason that may or may not have been addressed. What's your kind of sense for Purdue's ability to hold up its end of the bargain on the back end of the defense as opposed to the front end of the defense, where obviously George Karlaftis is a force of nature?
Yeah, I'm worried about the he's got to be special. Quarterback spot worries me. You talked about Corey Trice and Dedrick Mackey. They did go out. They hit the portal very hard this last offseason. Of the six transfers they brought in, six of the nine transfers they brought in are on the defensive side of the ball. And Jamari Brown's a cornerback from Kentucky, who I wouldn't be shocked maybe if he ends up starting here at some point.
Yeah.
I love the safety from Findlay University in Ohio, Charles Jefferson.
Chris Jefferson, right?
Christopher Jefferson. Christopher Jefferson, I think he's going to be special. He may not start right away with Cam Allen and Marvin Grant back there, but I wouldn't be shocked if maybe at some point he's not starting or he's playing a lot of football. So those are two good additions in the back end. And, got a great linebacker, O.C. Brothers from Auburn, who I know Brahm has raved about often this offseason. Joseph Anderson is a defensive end from South Carolina. DeMarge Lewis is a defensive tackle from IU, and they got the J.C. transfer, Prince James Boyd. So they went out and did all they could, not just to change the staff, but inject that side of the ball with a lot of new personnel. And we all know, Brian, as you've said time and again, these guys, these transfers don't sign up to come sit on the bench.
Right.
They expect to play, and I think a lot of these guys are going to obviously play big key roles, and they're going to have to play big key roles because if they don't, this defense can struggle.
This is the name of the game nowadays. Whoever gets the best transfers and onboards them the fastest is going to have an advantage. And, Purdue's been in the transfer game for quite a while. The results have been sometimes very positive. Josh Okonye and those guys years ago, the results sometimes, I should add TJ McCollum too, would have been a great player for Purdue in his 1 year had he been a little healthier. There have been some guys too who just didn't work out. A year ago at this time, we're talking about DJ Johnson and Giovante Howard coming in and really helping Purdue at corner. They're both gone. Just really important that Purdue gets these transfers on the field right away and they're productive players. Right? Sorry, that was an awkward transition. And our Wi-Fi outage is making it even more awkward right now. Let's move on. Hey, special teams. Tom, you got me? Tom, you got me?
I got you.
Special teams. Brahm just said more starters.
Yeah, kind of coming and going a little bit.
Yeah, we're 30 yards apart here, but the Wi-Fi is may as well be an ocean between us. I don't even know what that means. Special teams. Brahm just said more important players will be on special teams this year. Seems like something we hear from coaches all the time. But the need to improve on special teams is pretty considerable, is it not? Tell us what your expectations are there. Okay.
Hello?
All right, you know what? Guys, this has been your GoldenBlack.com Saturday simulcast. It's been brought to you by our friends at the Purdue Union Club Hotel. It has not been helped in any way, shape, or form by the Wi-Fi here at Lucas Oil Stadium. Apologize for the incongruity of all of this, but this is part of the charm of our multimedia broadcasts, is we're at the mercy of the conditions on the ground here. And right now. The Wi-Fi is as bad as it is at my house, unfortunately. So thanks, everybody, for watching. Thank you for listening. And we will get to that special teams question somewhere along the line here during training camp. So, Tom, thank you for your time. Lucas Oil Stadium, thank you for this Dasani water. And take care, everybody.